welcome and good morning. Welcome to this Communion Sunday. So glad to have you here. Welcome to those joining by live stream. And there are a lot of people who watch regularly from different parts of the country and here in the area. And so we're thankful the Lord has enlarged our ministry coast in that way. So thank you for those who have given already to our offering. We are seeking to aid those who have been affected by Hurricane Ida, to those who have been affected by wildfires in the West, also Haitian victims of their latest earthquake there. The country is in desperate need as gangs just roam throughout the country. Their president was assassinated this summer. Immediately after the earthquake, of course, the tropical storm on top of that. So we're giving to help with that. And then the Afghan refugees, several thousand of which are here at Camp Atterbury. And so we're asking the Lord to raise up $5,000 from our congregation. And so far we have 1,464. So we'll continue to receive this offering for a couple of more weeks, but thank you for those who have given already. And just if you would keep some folks in your prayers, folks you have been praying for, the Smothers family, if you've not lost a spouse before, we may not understand how absolutely devastating and deep that pain goes. And we're not always good at ministering to those who are grieving. And frankly, we're not always good at expressing our grief. But Greg continues to hurt, and he is going to hurt for a long time. We want to remember Greg and Kristen and Bethany and Chelsea in prayer. Also, thank you for those who responded to the sign up for Elaine, helping her get to Rosegate to see her dad. Continue to pray for Carl as he recovers. And just thank you for being compassionate and tender-hearted toward your brothers and sisters here at church. And congratulations to the Crandall family. Peter's getting married today, and we're so excited and thankful for his life, his fiance, and wish you all an awesome day celebration. Thank you for your prayers for my brother Brad in Gettysburg and his wife Eileen. Johns Hopkins has taken over my brother's case, and we're praying for God to continue to meet needs. But pray for Eileen. She's having severe respiratory issues due to the flooding that happened in their house after the hurricane moved to the northeast. And she's just got other issues. She's just very sick still. Please remember her. And if you would remember my mom, Friday, Joanne and I took our daughter Laura and her kids and my mother to the zoo. And mom just tripped on an uneven place in the walk. You know how the zoo, you're just constantly going up and down hills, and some of the walkways aren't even. She fell really hard right on her face. And so we've been checking in regularly with her. But remember my mom, who's going to be 85 this December 31st. And then a special prayer request for Jackie Wyrozdyk. Many of you may not know her, but she is just a sweet, precious sister in Christ who loves the Lord and loves her church. And she couldn't be here this morning. Her head's spinning, but there are other needs. We're going to remember her in prayer, as well as others that have been mentioned to me. So let's pray together right now as we prepare our hearts for the word. Father, thank you for a wonderful time of worship as we always have every week. Thank you for our worship team. for all of their preparation, not just musically, but their heart preparation. Lord, we do come with our offerings of praise and thanks. And Lord, what a privilege to worship you through communion this morning. And Lord, thank you that you have told us to bear one another's burdens, and church should be a place where people feel they're not alone. There are others to help carry the load. We think of the man who couldn't walk to Jesus, and he had four of his friends carry him on a pallet. And when they couldn't get to the door because of the crowd, they climbed to the roof and dug a hole and lowered him down. And Lord, we're reminded that love finds a way to get people to Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, every single person in the congregation and those watching on live stream will be touched by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, will be given grace to take their burdens and cares and struggles and doubts and fears to you. For Lord, you care for us, you love us, we're precious to you. You see us, you know us, and Lord, you've not left us. You are at work in us, and what you have started, you will finish, you have promised. And I pray that, Lord, we will all receive, as it were, water and miracle grow on the plants, on the seedlings of faith, Lord, that they would take deeper root and bear greater fruit for your glory. Lord, there's not one person who's here who does not need to hear from you today. And whether the need is to be admonished because we are stubborn in some area of our life, we're not listening to you, or we need to be encouraged in our discouragement, or Lord, we simply need to be taught. There are things we may not know and need to learn. Lord, whatever the need or combination of needs, Lord, touch every person. We remember, Lord, one who is deeply concerned for her sister. Lord, I pray for Mary Smith and Richard Smith, and Lord, this sister who's struggling with dementia. Lord, we pray for this husband, that Lord, he would recognize that he has such an opportunity to glorify you as a husband and to be what his wife needs, and grant them both much grace. Be for Rich the strength and patience and love. And may he see in her himself as one who was hopeless and helpless before he came to the Savior, and may he love her the way you have first loved him. Lord, we just pray that you would encourage Mom's heart today and help her to recover from her injuries, for Brad and Eileen. Lord, thank you for their faith and courage during these days, and Lord, may Johns Hopkins be led by your Spirit to help them in this season. So, Lord, we love you, and help us as we talk about the coming year, and may we be encouraged, Lord, as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, beloved, so as I told you last week, I want to talk to you about our leadership retreat. I want to talk about some of the things that I think we can look forward to in the days ahead. I told the leaders that you don't have to wonder what the church is about, because God has made it very clear in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment, of course, Jesus said, all the law and the prophets are summarized by two commandments: to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it, that we love our neighbor as ourself. But recognize this, and finish this verse for me if you would. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. the great commandment rests upon the wonderful truth that we are loved by God. Amen. I don't want anybody wondering today if they're loved, if they're precious to somebody, because the God who created the universe sees you and knows you and loves you. There was never a time he did not see you, never a time he did not love you, never a time he did not know you. And he did not lay it upon ourselves the task of trying to find our way to him. He made his way into our world when God became a man. We love because he first loved us. It begins with grace. It begins with God seeking us while we were lost, while we were rebels, while we were enemies, while we were sinners. Christ came all the way from heaven to rescue his bride, to make us children of God the Father and the bride of God the Son and the dwelling place of God the Holy Spirit. It's marvelous. Every fairy tale, every love story, every adventure story points to the greater gospel reality. We are all Cinderella, S-I-N-Dorella. And in the gospel, you discover that the prince chose you. Therefore, being precious to God, being loved by God, being sought by God, God who made us for himself. We are made by God. We are made for God. It is only right and only reasonable that we love God who first loved us and love our neighbor as ourselves. Everything begins there. Everything begins with the God who first loved us. Now, Jesus said, if you love God, and help me finish this verse, keep my, all right, John 14:15. And so as we think about the one thing that Jesus left the church to do after his resurrection, before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he gave what we commonly call the Great Commission. So New Life Church, like every church, is called to fulfill the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. As you know, the Great Commission is to go into all the world. No people group on the planet is to be excluded. There's no person of any color or ethnic background that we don't care about as the people of God. Whatever your politics, in the kingdom, there is nobody made in the image of God, nobody that was purchased by the blood of Christ that we don't care about in this world. We're to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe whatsoever God has commanded. So, as we talked about a fresh vision for 2022, there are two words I want to talk about this morning that I think will be a good shorthand for you to remember what we talked about in 2 days. The first key word is multiplication. Multiplication. And we propose that we're going to accomplish that in really three specific ways. One is to resume our formal discipleship training, which was cut short when the church shut down for the pandemic. We were exactly 3 weeks into it when we closed the doors for several months. It's time to resume. I believe the spiritual temperature of the church is going to rise pretty dramatically when we give ourselves to the one thing Jesus left the church to do, and we've not, and this falls on me. It's been a year since we've been back and we haven't resumed. But you know, I was thinking about how hard it was for our kids to be at home after they had come home from college. In fact, if you've got teenagers and you think they're giving you attitude, listen, part of that might be rebellion, but part of that is just, I think, a God-given restlessness young men and women have as they're beginning to feel, it's time for me to be in my own place, to start my own family, to have my own life. And they might not have the maturity to handle those feelings well or that understanding well, but the point is, God made us to grow up, leave home, and start our own families. That's typically the way. And so it is spiritually. If you've not had the experience ever of having shared the gospel with somebody and helped that person grow to the place where they're now sharing the gospel with other people and helping them to grow in their faith, then this is exactly what you want to be doing, is our discipleship training. It's a year commitment, and the commitment is this, that these aren't just classes you're going to attend. This is teaching you to observe how to grow in your faith and multiply your faith in someone else. Just like the natural course of life is to grow up, leave home, get married, have kids, so it is in the kingdom. That if you've been saved for any length of time, you should be able to look out and say, there's my Timothy, there's somebody I led to the Lord, and there's somebody he led to the Lord. You should be looking at several generations of spiritual fruit in your life. And if that's not your experience, if you say, you know, I've been going to church for 20, 30 years, but I can't even pray out loud in a group. I've never shared the gospel. Well, the rest of your life can look radically different than the past of your life. And we want to pour into you and equip you to have fruit that remains so that you can experience the joy of living the life that God created you to live. In discipleship, you will learn how to have a vibrant life in the Word of God, a vibrant prayer life. You'll learn how to deal with temptation. You'll learn how to discern God's will, how to make wise decisions, how to share the gospel. We'll talk about life in the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about how to forgive and many, 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 many other things over the course of a year. You've heard me share before that really from a human perspective, I owe so much of my spiritual life to John Garland, that senior at Clemson University who, for reasons past knowing, decided I was worth his investment. I was a punk. I was undisciplined. I was self-absorbed. And he just kept pouring into me. And the thing that changed my life, I've shared, most of you know this story already, but he gave me a Gideon's New Testament. He taught me four verses in the book of Romans, and he said, you're going with me. To do what? We're going to share the gospel with people here on campus. And I'm seeing God raise people from the spiritual dead right before my wondering eyes. And he said, now you're going to do it. And after passing a kidney stone or two, I did it. And God was pleased to use me to see other people come to Jesus. I'm so glad he started with the gospel. I'm so glad he started teaching me how to share the gospel with somebody. But my life was never the same after that. I want each of you to know, no matter how old or young you are, and we're learning here that God uses young people. You guys are amazing to me. I want you to feel the pleasure of God. I want you to feel like you are contributing to the kingdom of God, that your life is bearing fruit, that the Holy Spirit is upon you, that you're doing things you never dreamed possible in your life. The second way we're going to accomplish this is by helping you discover your spiritual gifts. So turn with me to Romans 12, if you would. Romans 12, just a little taste. Romans 12, beginning in verse 4. Romans 12, beginning in verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, think of your physical body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right. So this is one of four chapters in Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. And if you were to count the spiritual gifts, people come up with different numbers, but a lot of people think it's 19 gifts, which aren't to be thought of as exclusive. In fact, God probably gives any number of other gifts and any number of combination of gifts. The point is, if you know the Lord and you have the Holy Spirit, you have been sovereignly given a spiritual gift for the good of the church. You're unique. It doesn't matter if somebody can do your gift better than you. That's what hangs us up sometimes. I'm not nearly as gifted as this guy or talented as this guy. That might be true, but the point is, you're you. And the gift that you exercise is unique to this body. There's nobody else that can be or do what God has called and equipped and gifted you to do. And we need you. We need you. And so what we're going to do, we're almost done with 2 Samuel, and I'm committed to our finishing that because I think the message is so critical for our future. What does it mean to have a leader who is a man after God's own heart? And beloved, we've got to get it right. So what we'll do, we'll finish 2 Samuel, and then instead of a traditional Advent series, we're going to do a series called Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts as we prepare for 2022, with the idea that every single person, young and old, will begin to have a sense, I think this is how God made me, this is how God gifted me, and this is my unique contribution to the kingdom of God and to New Life Church. I think it will be very encouraging. The third way that we want to emphasize multiplication, it's not just our discipleship training, and it's not just having us all discover afresh how we've been gifted by God, but it's through mentorship. And let me explain. I told our leadership team that they have lives worth reproducing. Can I just give you some examples? Of my 3 years here back with this church family, this has been my favorite by far, with all of our challenges. And it's because of how so many of our leaders have been unleashed I think of Jason Best, who designed our leadership retreat and our leadership planning calendar, who's been thriving as a deacon and has been learning soul care with me as he has been in the trenches working with some families that have special need, and has been just a great blessing. Asa, who's thrived as the chairman of our deacons, in his care for the men, in his care for Pastor Jonathan and me and our families. For his energy and enthusiasm, and for some of the fresh innovations on Wednesday night in prayer meeting, as he and Greg have been leading that the last few months. He has taken off a house of fire. I think of Dan Herr, who's heading up our benevolence ministry, and that team has shepherded folks in the congregation, helping and encouraging one to find employment, to be able to take care of her family's needs, and couldn't be happier. I think of Pat Johnson, who's the current chairman of the trustees. He and Greg Smothers helped bring about this constitutional change. It did not require as many deacons to be trustees, allowing more men who are gifted and talented with building and property issues to serve as trustees, and freeing up the deacons to work with their care groups. I think it was a tremendous achievement for the future. I think of Steve and Rebecca. Guys, if you had heard what we heard about all that goes on in youth group, for all the ways that the teens are growing, for the ways they serve, for their heart for missions, their heart for serving the church, for their ability to feed themselves from the scripture, to have a heart for praise and worship, to pray. I could not be more excited about the youth ministry. And this is from a couple that not only works full-time. Steve right now working at the post office, a half day for him is 8 hours. He's often working 12 hours a day. He said, yeah, I got to come home the other day. There was still light outside. You know, and so, and they live out of town. It's extraordinary what is accomplished. Our children's ministry, the excellent curriculum, just the ongoing education through the meta-narrative, I call it, of scripture, of creation and fall and rescue and restoration. Marcia Crandall's working with the children on Wednesday night, and how they're praying, how their prayer lives are developing, and how they're serving the church. There have been a few times we'd come out of our adult prayer meeting and the kids are meeting us with a bag full of treats and some kind of a little love note. So encouraging. See their bright faces. The women's ministry, Joanne and Christy Cloud, Becky Swanson, Lynn Borf, Ona Fryer, have a marvelous, well-rounded women's ministry, and I can't wait to see what God will do in 2022 through them. We all know Alicia Goodman's contribution to all of us. I don't know how she does all that she does, but she has flourished. Her spiritual gifts have just truly been unleashed, just does a beautiful job. Our worship team, truly Christ-exalting worship ministry with a deepening bench for a church our size, have so many people involved in worship. And then Jake, how you've taken off and how God's used you at Twin Lakes Camp. And again, just so much to celebrate there. These are just, you know, and the bad thing about starting something like this is you're always afraid you're going to leave someone out, and I am. There are a lot of other things we could report, but the reason this year was so special is because I realized that the pastor's main job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for you to feel the pleasure of God in using the gifts that God has given you. And it's been an awesome thing to behold. So I told them, and I want to tell you the same thing, for you to have a really healthy, balanced life, there are three kinds of people you need in your life. You need a Paul, somebody like an Apostle Paul, somebody who's farther down the road than you spiritually, somebody that can mentor you, somebody who can encourage you, pour into you, somebody that you can ask questions of, and somebody who will give you wise counsel and the right kind of support. Then you need a Jonathan, you need a godly peer, somebody who's maybe in a similar place spiritually to you, maybe just in the lane next to you as you're running your races, but just a godly friend. You should have friends that are unsaved, but your best friends should be people who are helping you to love Jesus. You need a Jonathan, a Barnabas. And then you need a Timothy, even if you're a kid. If all, you've heard me say how many times, if all you know is John 3:16, that's all you know, there is somebody in your life that does not know John 3:16. But we all know so much more. You all have so much to give. And so who are you pouring into? Who are you mentoring? Who are you helping along the way? So I've asked our leaders in 2022 to not do ministry alone, to do their very best to not do anything at church by themselves, and if at all possible, to have somebody who they can mentor or at least can observe. And I've tried to do the same thing. If I'm making a hospital call, I'm thinking, all right, who can go with me? Who can participate in that? Counseling, all right, who can be an advocate couple for this couple? Who can sit in and be trained, as it were, while we're helping this family? We can train another family at the same time. Jesus sent the disciples out in twos. We're not to do ministry alone. And so this combines very nicely with our spiritual gift series, because don't be surprised if somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, would you be willing to just sit in with the teen ministry for maybe a month and observe and see if maybe this resonates in your heart as something that God's calling you to be involved with? We're not asking you to make a year commitment, but for 4 weeks with you praying, Lord, show me where you want me to be. Some of you are overworked, and some of you just need to be given that opportunity to see how you've been gifted and called. But you don't have to wait for somebody to tap you on the shoulder. Maybe there is a ministry you're interested in, and you have felt, well, they're really, you know, they already have good people there. They don't need me. Tell somebody of your interest, and you could be one of those people observing for an hour. We are wanting to match you with God's gift and calling so that you feel the pleasure of God. You feel like, oh, this is what makes me feel alive. I know God made me to do this. I want everybody to experience that in 2022. Every member a minister, without exception. So, the second key word is connection. As we're learning to connect and function as a healthy, growing, multiplying body, we must face what is certainly a really critical need in our church. In fact, the way I describe it is there, it is a giant hole in the net. It is connecting visitors to a church membership process. I don't think we ever have a Sunday without visitors. And the visitors I talked to say without fail, your church was so very friendly. And you all do an awesome job in welcoming people, loving on people. Always been proud of you for that. Where we struggle is after that. We need a strong connection person to lead a connection ministry that will walk an interested visitor through a membership process. Jeff Seebaum was that guy at Faith Bible Church in Cincinnati, and when we went to the quarterly dinners that we had for all the people who had been visiting, to a man or woman, they would say, yeah, Jeff was the first person we met at the church. I don't know how he did it. Two services, church of 600 people, but he somehow knew if you were visiting or not and made sure you got where you were supposed to be and entered them into that membership pipeline, so to speak. And most of the people who visit end up joining. It's just a remarkable thing. And so we're asking, the Lord of the harvest to raise up a couple that can really make this their focus here at New Life Church. There's many resources available for developing a good connections ministry, but this has to be a priority of 2022, because I think we have a wonderful church. I think I'm proud of our church. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for how I see Jesus in you. And I think our community needs a church that's small like ours. Not everybody does well in a church of 3,000 or 5,000 people. I love going to a church where you know everybody's name and you're missed if you're not there, and you don't feel like you're going to Lucas Oil Stadium for an event, but you're going to a family reunion every week. All right. So let me just share just some of my goals as a pastor for 2022 before we have communion. One is preaching that focuses on the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. That doesn't mean we're preaching on those two subjects. It just means that will always be the lens. That'll always be the frame for whatever we're preaching. I'm thinking after the spiritual gifts series, we need to get into the New Testament. It might do the book of James. Still praying about that. The recommencement of our formal discipleship training. I'm praying for 12 people to be engaged in formal discipleship. And I feel like I can do two teams, but not more than that well. But would love to see at least 12 people. I will continue to work with Asa and Greg Fryer to deepen the roots of our church's prayer life. You're really missing out if you don't come on Wednesday. That is an amazing time to connect with the Lord and with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm asking you to come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It is a beautiful time in His presence. Next, I will continue to heavily invest in the personal lives and families of our church leaders. I never want a church leader to feel like I don't have time or energy for them. Next, I'm asking the Lord that 1/3 of our Sunday morning attendance be back on Wednesday night for our various prayer meetings, whether it be the teens, the children, or the adults. You say, well, that sounds unrealistic. Actually, it happened. The service that the teens led, we had exactly 1/3 of our Sunday attendance back for that prayer meeting. So it's very, very doable goal. Next, to build up a preaching team of 6 men who could fill the pulpit capably on a Sunday morning. And so I'd like to really pour into these guys, go deeper with them, help them as far as developing a theme for their message, title, Perhaps even meeting together to critique each other, to make each other better. Think of a 4x100 track event. Each guy pushing the other, bringing the best out of the other guy. At College Park, that was a marvelous experience, being part of a preaching team there. There were three of us that did that for about a year. The commencement of a connections ministry, helping visitors to connect with the church and church members to connect with each other. Then I want to work with Grant on dates for the Fresh Encounter services, and we'd like to do 4 of those this coming year. But the difference is I would like to invite other churches in the area to be a part. And I'm asking the Lord that 3 churches will catch the vision for this. And even if it's taking turns going to maybe somebody else's house for one of these Fresh Encounter services, but that we start praying as a community of believers, praying for the other churches, but we all want the same things in Franklin Township. So getting other like-minded churches to be a part of that, that will be an amazing experience. Well, beloved, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for what you contribute, for your giving, for your love, for the sacrifices that you make. And I do believe the best days are ahead. I'm asking you to pray for the leadership as we continue to talk about the future. There'll be more to share with you in the days ahead about the future. But beloved, there's so much to build on. I can't wait to write my report for the 2021 year. And the things that I shared with you, honestly, were just simply examples of many, many other things we could have shared. But now you need to, all of you, ask, what, Lord, are you calling me to do? Lord, where have you gifted me? Where have you called me? I don't want any of us on the great day to have regrets. I don't want us to be like that servant who had a talent, and a talent is a lot of money. Talents were amounts of money, not what we refer to as talents, and he was afraid he would fail, so he buried his talent. He didn't do anything, and he was ashamed before God. I don't want that to be your testimony. I want you to be excited about the great day. I want you to feel like you were the best possible stewards of your life, that you grew up and were fruitful, and that you can point to generations of people that your life touched for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. It has been, Lord, a remarkable year, especially given just the negative impact, Father, of the COVID crisis. And Lord, I pray that people will have ears to hear the things that were shared, that people will be asking, Lord, is it time for me to really make a commitment to discipleship training? Lord, help me to have a holy restlessness, like a teenager that's ready to leave home, that knows it's time to be on his own. Not to be on their own, Lord, but to realize that they too can be fruitful. They too can share the gospel and win people to Christ and pour into other lives and have a ministry that glorifies you. Lord, we're seeing it in our children and teens. And I thank you for the men and women who have behind the scenes made amazing sacrifices for your kingdom and for this body. But I pray that we'll function like a healthy body, that we'll grow in a coordinated way, we'll serve in a coordinated way, that there will be no underdeveloped member of our body, no neglected member of the body, no member feeling useless or unneeded, Lord, but everybody recognizing they have an important contribution to make. And so, Lord, may this house be filled with just joyous praise and worship. And we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.